Hi, today is May 29th, 2016. This is Comic Geeks Podcast number 81. I'm Carlo Gasawaro, my good friend Jay Stone, and we've got one, maybe two topics today, but they may take some time to get through because, I don't know, they're upsetting, I don't know if that's the right word, concerning, confusing, maybe all of the above. Okay, so the first one, which is definitely annoying, at least to me, is the DC Comics TV multiverse. I don't know about you, Jay, but I was kind of okay with it up until recently. Until recently, the way it works is the vast majority of the DC TV universe characters were in the Green Arrow universe. So that's where there's Green Arrow, Flash, Adam, Rip Hunter, those kind of characters. And then it turned out that a couple of weeks ago, when there was the Flash and Supergirl crossover, it turns out that Supergirl and Superman are in a different universe or a different Earth. Was that your take on it too?
Yeah, it's a parallel dimension.
Yeah, so that Earth has Supergirl, Superman, Martian Manhunter.
Red Tornado,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, Tommy Tomorrow, those kind of people. So they're in a different universe, and now it turns out, spoilers, Jay, did you watch the last episode of The Flash for this season?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not a spoiler for you, but spoilers for anybody who hasn't watched it on their DVR yet. So the man in the iron mask that Zoom was keeping hostage in on Earth 2 is the real Jay Garrick, who turned out to be a doppelganger for Barry Allen's father, and who is, in fact, The Flash, on what they're now calling Earth 3. So we've now got at least four Earths that are kind of tied together. There's the Green Arrow / Flash Earth 1. There's Zoom on Earth 2, although really, you know, the more I thought about it, it seems like everybody on Earth 2 is evil. So that's more like Earth 3, at least in the comic book universe. And then there's this Earth 3, what they're calling Earth 3, that has the Jay Garrick version of Flash, a much older Flash, but, you know, again, it's Wesley Shipp, who was the original Flash in the TV show. And then there's the Superman, Supergirl universe, and then there's also a fifth one, there's Gotham, with a very young Batman in it.
And very old villains.
And very old villains.
Or soon-to-be-old villains.
Right. So what do you think about all this, Jay? Is this something you simply accept, or is this something that kind of bothers you, or something that really bothers you?
It doesn't bother me. I knew it was going to be Jay Garrick. It was pretty obvious to me, the man in the iron mask. I didn't expect him. Yeah, and when they killed off the father, another spoiler.
Yeah.
Everyone, our four fans. I knew the real Jay Garrick would end up being the same actor, right? John Wesley Shipp.
Really? See, I didn't expect that. I did not expect that at all. That was a complete surprise to me.
It's the kind of thing that those producers would do. Okay. You can kind of tell their style.
Okay. So for you, they telegraphed it.
Yeah, because, you know, that man in the iron mask.
Right.
He was knocking, right? And he kept on knocking Jay Garrick, right?
Right.
And he kept on getting frustrated with them. So I was like, well, he's the real Jay Garrick. I told everyone in my family, he's the real Jay Garrick. The other guy is Hunter Zolomon. He's a totally different guy. It's not the same guy at all.
See, I thought he was tapping Jay Garrick because he was trying to tell them that Jay Garrick was the bad guy. Because at the point he was tapping, I don't think we knew that Jay Garrick was Zoom, right? Or at least Hunter Zolomon.
Yeah, we didn't know that.
We didn't know. So that was my interpretation. Obviously, you were right. I was wrong. But anyway, that was my interpretation of it. That, you know, there. And I'm still kind of shocked.
Well, I was shocked they killed Henry. I couldn't believe they killed him. I was like, wow. They made Hunter Zolomon like greed, demented, and crazy. And there were a lot of plot holes this season that I didn't understand.
Oh, for example?
Well, why does he change his voice?
Oh, yeah, to that.
Why does he get shark eyes, black, you know, why does this mm-hmm. black substance go into his eyes? I kept on thinking they were going to explain it, that he actually is good but has been taken over by this evil version of the Speed Force.
I see.
because his eyes actually change.
Yes.
In color. And so they never really explained that. Mm. So I was a little disappointed in that. And then, like, my daughter kept on thinking that Jesse Quick would become, like, Jesse Quick.
Me too, by the way.
And that Wally would become Wally.
Right, Kid Flash. Right, or some version of the Flash.
Yeah. And I was like, no way.
Well, we know that's going to happen, right? Because the Speed Force went through them. And although nothing has happened yet, to me, that telegraphed they're going to become Jesse Quick and Kid Flash. Or whatever they decide to call him in this version of the universe.
I thought it was a red herring.
Really?
I thought it was a red herring to make people think that it was going to happen, but that it really wasn't going to happen.
Okay, so... Okay, well, so far you are more correct than I have been, so I would bow to your superior deductive reasoning.
But I think that the problem they're going to have next season is he basically created Flashpoint.
Yeah, that was my, again, another spoiler. Yeah, that's exactly my interpretation of that, too.
After not saving his mom, in the first season?
Right.
This season, he decides, I'm going to save her anyway.
Right.
But not the dad who just died. That's the thing that didn't make sense to me.
Well,
that's going to
be a tough one, isn't it? Yeah.
Right. I mean, the first season he said, okay, I'm not going to save her, right? Because my future self said, no, don't do it.
Right.
But in this season, he's like, okay, my dad's dead, but, you know, I'm going to save my mom. That I didn't understand. That didn't make sense to me. But I have a feeling. Did you see Arrow?
No, I haven't watched my Arrow. Arrow's still on my DVR.
Okay, I won't say anything.
Okay.
So, but I mean, I just thought that the end of the Flash. I mean, doing the Flashpoint story. Okay, that's fine. But it didn't make sense to me why he wouldn't go back to try and save the father, if he was going to go back in time anyway.
Well,
his character had already come. See, his character already had closure of the mother's death.
Right.
And that's the thing that didn't understand that motivation. Like, in the comics, he never had closure of the mother's death.
Right.
That's how he created Flashpoint. So that makes sense from a plot point of view. But the ending to me of this season of The Flash didn't make sense because the father, he had come to closure with his mother's death. And his father had come back. And they were getting closer, and they even alluded to, like, he might be getting together with Dr. McGee because right. They're kind of sweet on each other. So, you know, okay, that's going to be interesting in the next season. And they go off and kill him, and I'm like, what is going on?
That
it's like
it's
coming Arrow.
Yeah, yeah. People, nobody's safe except the main character, maybe.
Maybe.
Well, actually, and actually, they did kill off the Flash in this episode, in that last episode too, in a way, right?
Or at least the time remnant. I don't understand remnant. That there's a time remnant of themselves. Like, somehow they clone themselves, like right. An alternate time
that
version.
That doesn't make sense to me either.
That I didn't get.
Yeah.
Because, well, I guess it all got created because, you know, Zolomon created his own version of Jay. And
right.
I was like, wow, that's like, I still didn't come to grips with it until I kept on seeing it. And then I went, somehow they split themselves into two alternate selves in time, but existing at the same time. It just didn't make any sense to me.
Right. In the same universe of them.
Yeah.
Instead of creating a whole new multiverse when they split themselves off.
Yeah.
Right? Which is what you would expect.
Yeah. Which is what you would expect. But, you know, like the end of Flash made it seem like what, you know, they wanted to do is recreate what happened in Crisis.
Right.
You know, where he runs and runs and runs and then disintegrates.
That's what I thought too, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, it was an homage, right, to Crisis.
Right. That's my impression also.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. An homage to Crisis, which I thought, wow, that's like coming out of nowhere.
Yeah. But at the end of The Flash, okay, so when he goes back, he saves his mom, another Flash appears, right?
Yeah, that's his future self.
Right.
His future self.
So does his future self now kill the mother?
No, future self disappears.
That's right. You're right.
Yeah. So that features that timeline is gone.
Gone.
Because he's created Flashpoint, basically. Mm. So what will be interesting is if they carry Flashpoint as far as they did in the comic books. Like me, I actually really enjoyed Flashpoint.
I did too.
I thought I bought all the tie-ins and everything.
Yeah, although they can't use Batman.
No.
So I assume Green Arrow is going to stand in for Batman, and maybe Green Arrow's father is going to stand in for, you know, the older Batman in Flashpoint.
Oh, yeah, could be. That could work. Right?
And maybe he survives a shipwreck and becomes, you know, Arrow.
Yeah, he's on the island.
Right.
Oh, that could work. That'd be interesting. Mm. A more darker Arrow, if that's possible.
Yeah. Arrow's gotten pretty dark over the years. Although he lightened up a bit, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, he's still pretty dark. But I mean, if they take it like an extreme version of Flashpoint, like in the comics,
right?
That's gonna freak people out because Flashpoint was pretty out there.
It was, and well, quite frankly, you know, the DC comic book multiverse is just as confusing, if not more confusing, than the DC TV multiverse now.
You know, do you think that's a way for them to bring Supergirl?
To combine the multiverses, kind of like, wasn't it? It wasn't Flashpoint they combined it. What was that more recent one they did?
That was Flashpoint.
No, there was another, Convergence.
Oh yeah, Convergence.
Convergence, right?
Yeah.
But isn't DC going to do another reboot?
They did. It was Wednesday. I haven't picked it up yet. It's Rebirth.
Did
you hear about it? The entire comic leaked online.
Wow.
Yeah, so
I read the
spoilers and everything. It's pretty freaky. If you don't want to be surprised, don't read anything online.
Well, I know I've read some stuff in the trades, and they killed off the version of Superman that had been continuity. They brought back the older version of Superman to become the current Superman, I think. And then there's going to be a Chinese Superman. I don't get that at all.
So I haven't been reading the Superman comics.
Yeah.
But basically, when he dies, his powers get transferred to other people in the world.
Oh, okay.
So that's... when the new 52 Superman dies, his powers get transferred to Lois Lane.
Okay.
Who's actually that power is killing her.
Okay.
And then a guy in China, new Superman. And so there's a Chinese Batman, a Chinese Wonder Woman,
and a Chinese Superman.
And then that actually looks kind of interesting to me. And then Lex Luthor takes up the mantle of being Superman. So in a way, it's almost like they're redoing the reign of the Superman.
Right.
So I suspect what's going to happen is that he'll come back somehow.
Who will come back?
The new 52 Superman.
The one that just died?
The one that just died.
Hmm.
Because they come back, right?
And you think this may be some kind of tie-in to the TV multiverse? Or, I don't know.
What, the Rebirth?
Yeah.
No. The end of Flash creates, because he saves his mom, creates
a Flashpoint.
It creates Flashpoint.
Right.
If it creates Flashpoint, you can generate a completely different timeline where Supergirl could exist in that universe.
I see. And that would explain moving over from wherever it is, CBS now to CW or whatever.
Yeah, because now they're all on CW. They can integrate everything. They have to find a way to do that.
Okay. So at that point, then, only the Jay Garrick Flash universe remains anomalous.
Yeah, and then the Dr. Wells and Jesse Quick.
Right. In the evil DC universe, where all good people are evil. I mean, everybody's a villain instead of a good person.
Yeah, it's like a crime syndicate.
It is, right? That's why I kept saying, but earlier I said it's more like the Earth 3 and the DC comic book multiverse.
Yeah. But having the Jay Garrick, the old Jay Garrick Flash, it allows them to bring in the Justice Society.
Well, we don't know the backstory for the Jay Garrick Flash, right? We don't know if he was also created from from an explosion or... if they've just been superheroes there for a longer time. But do you think they're made by a Justice Society universe?
Well,
I'd like that.
Did you watch Legends of Tomorrow?
No, I have, again, one of those on my DVD.
Okay, I'm not going to tell you then.
Okay.
Unless you really want to know.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. at the end, the finale. Okay, big spoiler, everyone. If you haven't watched Legends of Tomorrow, okay, too bad. At the very end of the season finale.
Right.
The Wave Rider shows up at the end.
Okay.
And outsteps our man.
Oh. The android version, not the Rex Tyler.
No, it's the human. Rex Tyler.
Oh, Rex Tyler, okay.
But a young version.
Hmm.
So I don't know if it's Rex Tyler Jr.
Yeah.
And you can tell, if you know Justice Society, you know what Iron Man's like costume looks like.
Right. So does this Iron Man have a costume?
Yeah, he had a costume.
Does he have a cape?
Yeah, he has a cape.
And a cowl.
I don't remember if he had like a cowl, but he had a cape.
Hmm.
I don't know if he might have had a hood more than a cowl.
Hmm.
And so
which would work.
Yeah. So he introduced who he was, and then he said, "I'm from the Justice Society of America."
Okay, that's really confusing.
And then he says, "Don't get onto the Wave Rider. You're all gonna die."
Huh.
But he came from the Wave Rider.
Hmm.
Yeah. So Legends of Tomorrow is really, it's really kind of because they have all these time travel stuff.
Right.
It can get pretty funky. So a lot of people online were really happy they introduced the JSA.
Okay, so on Earth 1, we now have Green Arrow, Flash, Adam, Rip Hunter, assorted characters, plus the Justice Society of America, including Iron Man.
But you don't know if they're really from Earth 1.
Oh. Oh.
But he appears on Earth 1, right? Because he comes in a Wave Rider, you don't know where he's actually from.
Hmm.
Right? So is he from Earth 1 or that Earth 3?
Hmm.
Right? Yeah, I mean, you don't know. We'll find out next season. But that makes it really exciting, I think.
Hmm.
Because that'd be pretty cool. And it'd be really cool if that Jay Garrick Flash showed up.
That would be interesting. That would tie it back in a lot cleaner to me.
Yeah, because, and you know Jeff Johns, right? He wrote JSA for years.
Right.
He was a big JSA fan.
Now, is Jeff Johns, okay, I might be not remembering this correctly, but didn't just Jeff Johns just move over to the DC movie side?
He always was, because he's the chief creative officer, so he was always the liaison with Warner Brothers. But what Warner Brothers did, if I read the article, the article I read is they created DC Films, and they took an executive from Warner Brothers, and they took Jeff Johns, an executive from DC Comics, and they're like the not presidents, but they're the co-executives that run DC Films.
Hmm. Yeah, because it's a mess right now.
Right, to try and make it a little more integrated. Because DC Warner Brothers went with this auteur-director approach, where they would let the directors do whatever they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, it worked with Christopher Nolan, right?
Right.
But as my coworker at lunch said, yeah, but that's Christopher Nolan.
Right. And it's the only one that's at work. None of the Green Lantern, Superman, the new Batman, none of that has worked.
Yeah, so they were like, okay, get some director, let them play with it and see what happens. I mean, they thought they would try to generate the same kind of success they had from Chris Nolan in these other films. But I don't think having it integrated is the issue. I think they picked the wrong people. If you look at the Green Lantern director, he did not understand Green Lantern at all.
Well, I think, though, that those two problems are related. So if they had a coherent sense of where they're from and where they're going, then the Green Lantern director either A, would not have been selected because he would have been obviously not knowledgeable enough for them, or B, he would have been pulled in to toe the line.
Oh, is that...
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can see that. That makes sense. I can see that.
Right? I mean, it's like the Marvel movie universe. There are different directors, and they have different styles, and, you know, you and I have different views of how happy we are with the version, but in general, it's coherent within the movie universe, even if we may not like the continuity versus the comic book universe.
Yeah, it's like a strong editor, like in the comics.
Right.
where the editor basically runs everything.
Right. So
you're like a hack that just writes the issue.
Right. So in Captain America Civil War, for example, you know, they in the movie they ask, well, where's Hulk and Thor? Right. Mm-hmm. And I think Thunderbolt Ross asked that actually.
Yeah.
And they couldn't answer. But that's consistent with the rest of the universe, right? We know there's a Hulk. We know there's a Thor. We know that they have kind of disappeared from the landscape. And they won't be in this movie. So that's a, you know, nice, clean explanation for why they aren't there. Because let's face it, Thor and Hulk would have changed the whole complexion of Civil War.
Oh, yeah. It would have ended really fast.
Yeah, it would have been like a five-minute movie.
Yeah, you can't have people that powerful in this movie. Although, to be honest, Iron Man is actually really, really, really powerful. It was surprising that they were able to put up such a big fight against Iron Man.
Yeah, that was interesting.
You know, I mean, that was kind of like a,
Yeah.
It's actually not really believable because okay. This is like the ultimate version of Iron Man.
Right.
So he's like uber powerful.
So before we move over completely to the Marvel Universe, let me just close up on this DC TV multiverse thing. I just want to mention one more thing. So there's, you know, Earth 1, the Green Arrow Flash universe, Earth 2, the Zoom evil crime syndicate universe kind of thing, Earth 3, which has the real Jay Garrick and maybe the Justice Society, Earth 4 with Superman, Supergirl, Martian Manhunter, and a few other very powerful superheroes. And then there's Earth 5 with Gotham and a very young, like preteen Batman. Now, let me say this. I know, Jay, you haven't been watching this one.
I caught up.
Oh, you did? Okay, so I won't ask you what you think of it for the moment. I'll ask you in a minute. But I've been really enjoying the second season. Until the end, until this last episode, more spoilers, where Fish Mooney is brought back. Or last two episodes, I guess.
I know, when I saw Fish Mooney, I was like, oh, Todd's going to hate it.
Yeah. Yeah, they brought back Fish Mooney, I guess, in the second to the last episode for the season. I said, oh, my goodness, they jumped the shark.
And she has superpowers.
And she has a superpower. I mean, how bad can it be?
Yeah, I don't know how cuttlefish DNA gives her that kind of superpower.
Yeah.
That doesn't make no sense.
Gotham season 2 had become so promising. So promising. You know, Penguin had developed into a fully rounded character that you cared about.
Yeah.
Bruce is less whiny.
Yeah, he's becoming Batman.
Yeah. You know, Selina, you can kind of see Catwoman emerging.
Actually, it makes a lot more sense why Bruce loves Catwoman so much.
Now, right. This backstory, yeah.
Yeah, it actually makes a lot more sense why he would give such a criminal like that
such a pass.
Yeah You know, because from their teenage years,
yeah, she taught him stuff.
What did you think of that Matches Malone thing?
It was a little disappointing, although, you know, we know that in the comic books Batman adopts Matches Malone as one of his secret identities.
Yeah, but in the comics, was Matches Malone an actual guy? Or was it just someone he created? And
yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I thought he was an actual guy.
That he took over?
That whose identity he adopted.
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
But, you know, I need to go back and look. I will go look that up and report back in Podcast 82. Let me make a note of that.
But I agree with you. It was getting pretty good. The thing I really liked, is they brought in the court.
Yes.
The court of owl.
They don't mention the owl part yet, right?
No, they just have the silly looking mask. And now it makes sense why the hell Hugo Strange is trying to is utilizing Freeze's cold technology and trying right. to bring people back from the dead.
Right.
Because that's the origin of the Talons.
Right.
Right? So that makes a... I mean, for a while, I was like, okay, this does not make sense. But then now that they introduced the court...
Now that it's a larger conspiracy.
Yeah, like it's... And I was like, you know, that made... I think... Didn't I say that a long time ago? The first season, they should bring in the Court of Owls?
I think you did.
Because that make... I mean, that whole concept in the comic was just so amazing. You know, this secret court that was controlling Gotham forever and ever, and Batman never knew until recently. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they do it right, that's going to be I think, a really, really good storyline.
Okay. Now, we're going to move to Marvel, but one of the other things we need to talk about at some point, after I do some more reading, because you probably know more about this than I do, is the three Jokers, or multiple Jokers.
I've only heard about it. Yeah. I haven't read it.
Okay. Okay, so we'll more spoilers, but that's a topic for next time, where apparently Batman asks the Mobius chair who the Joker really is, and the Mobius chair doesn't really answer, but just says there are three. And of course, Batman goes into shock.
Yeah.
Although it does explain a lot of stuff in continuity.
Yeah, I read the article about that revelation.
Okay. All right, next up then, since we do have time, I wasn't sure we'd have time, although we won't spend a lot of time on it, was one single question. What do you think of Captain America having always been a Hydra agent?
Oh, I think that's ridiculous. I think it's one of the worst things they did to the character. I think this whole Hydra
thing.
I have to control my passion. Because I didn't like it in the first film, although, like...
Oh, where it turns out S.H.I.E.L.D. was Hydra?
No, I'm okay with that. No, okay. That Red Skull is actually Hydra instead of a Nazi.
Oh, okay.
You know, and Hydra's all this stuff. And I'm like, okay. The problem is the first two Captain America movies were so good. I forgave it. Because they were actually... I mean, in my mind, First Avenger and Winter Soldier are two of the best comic book movies ever made. I can watch those movies again. It's like they got the whole essence of Captain America so well, and they integrated it so expertly, and then they had to go and say everything's Hydra, and I don't like the fact that Nick Spencer put this in, because it just makes no sense. And then, you know, did you read about what he did? It's not just that he's Hail Hydra. He kills someone.
Yes.
Right?
Jack Flag or whatever.
What the hell? I mean, people should be as angry about that as they were about Batman killing people in Batman v Superman.
Or Superman killing people in Superman.
Yeah. I mean, it just should... That just should not happen. Now, I read that article earlier today about how Stan Lee says it's a very interesting idea.
Right.
And yeah, it is an interesting idea. But,
well, you know, if it's Marvel's way of drumming up interest and sales, they've done it, because we're talking about it.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's like Death of Superman. Yeah, that's a big story. It drummed up sales. That was one of the biggest selling comics of all time.
Yeah, I bought like two or three versions of it.
Nightfall, right? Was one of the. But they were really good stories.
Right.
Right. Even this one where even in the New 52, you know, Batman actually does die.
Yeah.
He dies. Commissioner Gordon becomes the new Batman.
Right, in the big robot suit or whatever.
Which I was like, this can't be good. But all the reviews said it was great. I heard other people say it was awesome online. And so I decided to try it out. And Scott Snyder is just a really, really, really good writer. He's so good. He pulled it off. And he was able to bring Batman back. But he didn't make Batman completely different from what he was. Even, you know, you break Batman's back.
Right.
You do all this stuff, right? You kill Superman. You do all these different things, right? Like for you, right? Man of Steel. One of the big problems of Man of Steel is it wasn't like the Superman that you're familiar with.
That I grew up with.
Yeah. I mean, at its essence, right? You can change all these superficial things around them, like how they do in the Marvel Universe.
Sure.
But if you change the core of the character, people won't react well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, basically, Superman is, I can't remember which villain called him this, but the Super Boy Scout.
Yeah. Right?
He does not kill, period.
Yeah. Same thing with Batman, right? But.
Yeah, it's difficult.
You do that to Captain America with a flag on him? I mean, Simon and Kirby, now the reaction that people are having towards Nick Spencer personally and the death threats.
No, that's over the top, yeah.
That's over the top. But not me not liking the decision. Now, granted, I haven't read the article, or not, I haven't read the comic issue.
Book. Yeah.
I haven't read the issue, right?
Which is a reboot, right?
Yeah, it's the all new Marvel, right? I mean, too many reboots.
Yes. Yes.
Why you got a retcon? Why you got a retcon? Right? Just deal with it.
Right. I mean, you know, I remember when, and not like a too off the field, but, you know, Crisis on Infinite Earths, right? Really, the first major retcon.
Yeah.
Which is now, what, 30 years ago? Something like that? I mean, it's been a long time. 20 years ago, I guess. 30 years ago. 83. Yeah. Yeah, 1986. Oh,
31.
Yeah.
31? 30.
Yeah. 1986.
85, 86, right?
Yeah. So, you know, that was the first real major retcon. I mean, there have been other smaller retcons and, you know, things that were kind of not really noticeable to most people except, you know, true fans. But that was a big one. And then, you know, Marvel did the whole, their retcon a decade or so later with the Ultimates. And, or I don't know if that was a retcon. Or
it was a different universe, different dimension.
But
the multiversal thing.
Right. But, you know, you're right. Yeah, they've done it too many times already. You know, both of the big groups, both Marvel and DC Comics. I mean, since New 52, what if we had, is this a second reboot since New 52 now? I mean,
no.
New 52, there was...
Well, they're calling it, it's not a real reboot. Hmm. New 52 wasn't supposed to be a reboot.
Hmm.
It was supposed to be a soft reboot, right?
Yeah.
This rebirth isn't supposed to be a reboot because the New 52 happened. Everything happened. This is a soft reboot. They call it a soft reboot? They call it a soft reboot. So the New 52 existed and it all happened. Right? But just other things happened.
Okay. Now this Captain America reboot thing. This is a reboot, right?
I guess so. I don't know enough about it. I know it's all new Marvel. Okay, Nick Spencer is a pretty good writer. So maybe he can pull this off. But I really don't think this was the right way to go. I mean, they started this, like, what did he say, 14 months ago or something? Right. They started doing this kind of stuff?
And I mean, and honestly, if it's true that he's always in Hydra agent, they're going to have to retcon it back to 1940s, you know?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's crazy talk.
I mean, I just don't understand why this would be a story anyone would want to read.
Well, again, you know, sort of Stan Lee's argument, not argument, but Stan Lee's version of it being interesting. It generates talk, generates sales.
Yeah, but you know, okay. You know, I used to read Injustice, which is the prequel to the to that DC video.
Okay.
Game, right?
Okay.
And Injustice is kind of like Batman versus Superman. Superman goes crazy when the Joker blows up Metropolis and kills Lois Lane and Superman's unborn child.
Okay.
So Superman becomes like redeemable and takes over the entire world and everyone's trying to stop him. It's incredibly dark, but it was one of the best written pieces I ever comic for a while. It was one of the best written things I ever read. I mean, when I used to have Comixology, I would get the digital right comic because it would come out like every week or something. It was so well written. But you all knew that it was like an Elseworlds. It wasn't, you know, it was an alternate reality.
Right. It was in continuity.
Not main continuity, right?
Yeah.
My understanding is this is not alternate reality with Captain America. It's continuity.
Yes. That's what I'm getting from the articles I'm reading also.
Yeah. So that's the problem I have. That it's main continuity, you know? I mean, I hope they don't cop out and make it like a clone, like Spider-Man.
Or Red Skull took over his brain.
You know, I mean...
Which they've done. Or
yeah,
six bodies or whatever that was.
You know, I mean, in some ways, if you're going to go this far, you got to own it. And he can't come back from this. He just, in my mind, he just has to stay evil. You can't bring someone back from after he's already killed someone, unless it's like, you know. Did you ever watch Young Justice?
Yes, I did.
really good arc cartoon, right?
Yes, it was.
You remember the second season when Calderon? I don't remember his name.
Okay.
He was an African
Aquaman.
Aquaman, right?
Right. Or Aqualad.
Calderon or whatever, right?
Right, right, right.
The second season, he becomes part of the Legion of Doom or something, or yes, the Injustice Society.
I remember that.
But he was, right, a double agent.
Right, he's in league with Black Manta or something like that.
Yeah. But he was a double agent, and no one knew. No one could know. And they did it. I was like freaking out the first few episodes, right? Until it was revealed, right? But then it was, you have that irony where the audience knows what's going on, but the characters don't know. But this one, I don't know if they're going to do that. I don't think he faked that guy's death from the plane. I think that guy's dead. Right? Once that character has done that, you can't come back from that. You just can't.
Well, to me, the main problem is, why now? You know, if you've been in deep cover for 70 some odd years, you know.
Well, it's all comics, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Because, like, comic sales are just plummeting, yeah?
Yes.
I mean, you know why they're doing Rebirth, right?
Because New 52 failed?
More than that. Not only was it New 52... if you look at when New 52 first came out,
mm-hmm.
It was just selling like hotcakes.
Mm.
I mean, there was so much buzz, marketing, all the numbers. They were selling really, really well. And then they kind of faltered over the last couple years, right? But what DC did is they created that DCU initiative.
Mm-hmm.
So they changed from the New 52 to DCU, where everything was like Batgirling. They're Batgirling everything, right?
Mm.
And then what they did was created all these kind of more experimental kind of comics. They did Prez, they did Batmite, they did Bizarro, but none of it resonated with the people who buy comics. And so apparently, from what I read in one article, DC, their sales are so low. They're so incredibly low.
Well, like, their terrible movies aren't helping either.
Well, not even 10,000 comics.
Wow.
For some of them. It's like super low that they had to do something drastic. And so they basically realized, okay, the New 52, maybe for the first few months or first year or whatever, was popular, but that novelty wore off, and that it alienated too much of their core base, and that DCU initiative didn't help either. Although, from what you read, if you read like from a critic's point of view, they had some of the best comics come out of DCU. But I'll be honest, I didn't pick them up either. I mean, I heard Omega Men was one of the best comics on the shelves, right? Dr. Fate's one of the best, but I didn't pick it up.
Me too, by the way.
Because, I mean, I only got so much money. It's not cheap. So they had to do, really had to do something with Rebirth. And if anything, the best thing about Rebirth, this whole initiative, is they're keeping the prices low. They're keeping it at $2.99 for a while, for most of the things.
Which I consider high, but okay.
Yeah. Right? But there's some that are $3.99 and $4.99 now.
That's
for
crazy.
A comic.
Man, that is crazy. That's a paperback book price nearly.
That's crazy. I mean, you should, but you know, the Rebirth comic, which is like 60, 70 pages or something,
mm-hmm.
It's only $2.99. Mm-hmm. It's a steal.
Well, okay, so we're in agreement on Captain America being an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's a good marketing idea. It's a bad idea. Agent of Hydra, right.
I mean, it's going to sell comics, but I don't think it's good. I don't know. I just think it's wrong for the character. But again, I haven't read the comic. I actually don't want to read a comic like that, to be honest.
Yeah.
I actually don't. Well, you know, when you see, like, I mean, it's also one of the reasons why I stopped picking up Injustice.
Well,
it got so dark, I just couldn't read it anymore.
Yeah. Irredeemable is kind of like that. But an excellent comic, but you know, there's a beginning, middle, and an end. And the problem with Captain America is there should be no end.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
Right? You either resolve it by killing the character, or you resolve it by making the character not being evil. But you can't have the character being evil for the next 100 years or whatever, you know, next 70 years.
Yeah. I mean, okay, Man of Steel, right? Superman kills Zod, right?
Right. In the movies, right?
You know, he's like...
Well, actually in the comic books, too, but it was, yeah, in the pocket universe, yeah.
Right, I mean, he was forced to, he was given no choice. I mean, they tried to set that up, right?
Right.
Batman v Superman, you know, people get killed, but it's like a dream sequence. Maybe, right? But in my mind, as long as it's not continuity, I could understand, you know, this whole Captain America, Hydra agent, right, you know, murderer thing. But once it's continuity, there's no way to redeem him.
Right.
I don't see how.
Okay. Well, we'll have to take a look and see how this goes. A Rebirth on the DC side and whatever the heck they're doing in the Marvel side. I'm not real happy at either side at the moment.
No. But, you know, I heard Rebirth is just a really, really good comic. I'm picking it up.
Okay, maybe I'll pick it up just to look at it. Alrighty then, so that's been Comic News Podcast number 81. Two topics which we melded with a couple of things. Basically, is what do we think about this whole DC TV multiverse thing? I like some of Jay's theories. I hope they come true so that there's more coherency in the DC TV multiverse. And neither of us are really thrilled with this whole Captain America as agent of Hydra from the beginning of time. That's just wrong.
Yeah, that's wrong. That's just wrong. Sorry.
It's wrong.
Cannot defend that. No one can defend that.
No.
It's undefensible.
We will talk to you next time on podcast number 82. Talk to you later.